The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning, Human. I'm Sasha Grainbuehl. A Human member. On behalf of our speaker, David Krober, Reverend Dave Dunn, Director of Religious Exploration, Lexi Tangney Brown, Music Director, Alex Peach, my fellow worship associates, and the dedicated technical team that is making today's live stream possible, I welcome you to Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we lovingly call Human. No matter who, we are a liberal faith community with a mission to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, and transform the world. No matter who you are, who you love, or where you are in your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. Now on to the announcements. Storytellers will be meeting the night of Friday, October 27th, with stories and poetry around a fire at Human. Stories to live by, stories to entertain and fortify us for the darker days of winter. If you have any questions, please contact Gus Haydorn. And now an announcement from the Fall Festival team.
Hi, I'm Chris Peterson. I am working with our junior youth on making a sensory room for the Fall Festival, and we need boxes. So if anyone has shoebox-sized boxes that they're willing to let us cut up and destroy, we'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
We are all heartbroken by the ongoing events in Israel and Gaza, and we at Human are in solidarity with both Jewish and Islamic communities. Although the perpetrators committing acts of violence claim to do so in God's name, such acts of violence have nothing to do with God, religion, or spiritual life. We pray for peace and beloved communities amongst all people. I'd also like to announce that we have a few adult enrichment offerings this morning. Please refer to your order of service for the class locations. One note, however, is that knit, crochet, and needlecraft will not be meeting this morning due to a time conflict with the Pride Parade.
Good morning. Our call to worship today is a quote from the author and speaker, Brian McLaren. He says, "I don't think doubt is the enemy of faith. I think it is the best friend of faith. Once a few people start having the courage to tell the truth and admit their doubts, other people don't have to keep their secrets anymore. Here's the thing. We're all in this together, and it's not just happening to us as individuals. The human race, the human community at large is trying to mature, and we all get to work out part of that process in our own lives and stories."
And now let us light our chalice together. We kindle this flame, honoring the doorways in our souls, the windows through which we gaze at one another, the balconies where we catch glimpses of sky, the thresholds we stand on this morning, wondering, hoping, fearing, dreaming.
Thank you.
And now a reading by Emily Dickinson. Faith is the peerless bridge, supporting what we see unto the seen that we do not, too slender for the eye. It bears the soul as bold, as it were rocked in steel, with arms of steel at either side. It joins behind the veil to what could we presume? The bridge would cease to be to our far, vacillating feet, a first necessity.
So I'm going to start today with just a quick informal poll. If you don't mind, please raise your hands if you were raised as a Unitarian Universalist who grew up in the UU Church. Right here, okay. How many of you were raised in another faith tradition, some other religion? Okay, wow. And how many of you were raised in a non-religious household, basically? It just wasn't religious at all. Okay. All right, well, good. So the majority of you were brought up in some faith tradition that is not the one that you are experiencing today. I believe that all of us are spiritual sojourners. We began somewhere, we're here now, and then we're heading somewhere. Maybe your journey includes a belief in the divine, some deity or deities, a sense of the supernatural in the world around us. Perhaps there's no external force. It's simply nature and the universe at work doing what they do. Whatever path you're on, it is spiritual in the sense that it helps you define meaning, connection, and how to live life well. So in that sense, it is a faith system. So the noun faith in English has two primary definitions. One is the strong belief in God or the doctrines of a religion based on the spiritual apprehension rather than proof. That's the usage we most frequently encounter in popular culture today. The other definition, and it's the one I'll hone in on a little bit more today, is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So everybody has faith in something, a religion, the government, science, your company, your family, your community, or maybe just yourself. Faith, or call it trust, belief, confidence, conviction, or hope, is an important part of us. Whatever we believe or don't believe, we have some sort of faith framework that guides our lives, some set of principles, whether conscious or not, that informs our worldview, our hopes, our choices, our relationships. We begin to develop this framework from the moment that we were born, when we first make eye contact with the mother that gave birth to us. It builds throughout childhood, through the relationships we have with our parents, caregivers, friends, and teachers, and through our experiences with the world around us. Those experiences may be on the playground, the schoolroom, games, church, work. Those relationships and experiences, when combined with genetic traits, form our psychology, which in turn informs our attitudes, behaviors, and emotions. It's the way we interact with the world around us. These factors, relationships, and experiences are aspects of the culture into which we are born. When and where we live is an inescapable element of our faith formation. The fact that I am weird, Western, educated, from an industrialized society, rich, democratic culture, has a dramatic effect on how I experience the world around me. Add to that the fact that I am white, male, cisgendered, able-bodied, from a two-parent, church-attending, home-owning family, and you have more of the ingredients that go into shaping the faith that I had as a child and the faith that I have now. All of you have your own origin story with your own relationships and experiences that provided the faith of your youth And maybe it's still the faith of your adulthood now. But stuff happens. Could use another word, but we'll say, but stuff happens in life. Often something, someone, some change occurs that puts a crack in that foundational faith. It might be an intellectual break where your observation of the world around you cannot be reconciled with the tenets and teachings of your religion. Or it might be a traumatic experience that is completely inconsistent with the stated practices and behaviors within that faith. Maybe it was a betrayal of trust by a leader or a teacher, an inner feeling that you do not fit the mold, or a gradual erosion of your confidence in the worldview dictated by that faith system. The result is doubt. It's a growing or sometimes full-blown sense that what your faith told you is just wrong. And then you must either address it or suppress it, or be stuck in the limbo of cognitive dissonance where how you live is not aligned with what you supposedly believe. Brian McLaren is a former evangelical Christian pastor who has explored this emergence of doubt in much of his speaking and writing that he's done over the last 15 or 20 years. It's rooted in both his personal experience and stories that have been shared with him by others. In his 2021 book, Faith After Doubt, he lays out a model for four stages of faith based on his synthesis of the work of many sociologists, psychologists, and philosophers, some going as far back as the Enlightenment. While he approaches these stages primarily from a Christian perspective, exploring why so many people are leaving the institutional church, I believe this model applies to most faith structures. So McLaren describes four different stages of faith, which he terms simplicity, complexity, perplexity, and harmony. In each of those stages, he delves into how we typically perceive the world, what the focus of our faith is, the motives, key values, and assumptions common in that stage, the strengths and weaknesses, and core questions that characterize it. Ultimately, he addresses two critical elements. What is that stage's prevailing attitude towards doubt, and what does faith itself mean when you're in that stage? As I give a brief summary of each of these four stages, please keep in mind that this framework is just a tool. It's a model. Uh-oh. Our chalice went out. You gonna rescue us, Donna? Yeah.
I was watching it.
Watching this liquor. You didn't do it? No, I thought maybe I had too much hot air up here. All right. Well, keep the chalice burning in your hearts as we go. So anyway, you know, models and frameworks, they're just tools. They're ways to help us approximate something that often is very complex and has different dimensions. There's not a clear delineation between these stages. You may find that you're in one stage in one aspect of your life and then another stage in a different part of your life. Everyone's journey is unique, and there is almost never a linear path through it. So McLaren's model starts with simplicity, which is marked primarily by authority figures, such as parents, pastors, and teachers. We ask questions, they give answers, we believe them. We experience very little doubt at this stage, as it is seen as a betrayal or a weakness of character. We perceive the world in a binary or dualistic way. It's right versus wrong, safe versus dangerous, good versus evil, us versus them. This is where you find most fundamentalist religions, which command followers to believe and accept. Rules and norms define how to think and live. There is very little gray area in how the world is perceived. Many people stay in this stage their entire lives. But as we grow older, we encounter different ideas and perspectives, particularly during adolescence or when we go away to college, and we enter a stage McLaren calls complexity. The simple binary options start to break down. We meet people not like us. We encounter situations that don't fit cleanly into a good, bad categorization. Or we have other experiences that challenge the dualism we've been raised on. The good guys turn out to do bad things. The bad people, particularly those outside of our faith, turn out to be really good human beings. We look for help to cope and tools to navigate a more complex world. It's marked by sort of a pragmatism. How do I make this work? Most religious faiths accommodate complexity through the diversity of denominations they have or complementary organizations which allow room to find meaning, interpretation, and application of sacred stories and traditions while not having to affirm that they are literally true or absolute. There is permission to explore, to push boundaries, but still within the larger framework or agenda of that system. At some point, though, complexity can become too much, leading to serious doubts about the truth, with a capital T, of your faith system. You realize there are no easy answers. There are no simple steps to success. Now you've ventured outside the boundaries of your system. This transition may be sudden, triggered by a trauma, a betrayal, a realization that what you've been taught is wrong. Or it may be gradual, the accumulation of rigid or nonsensical theology or hypocritical behavior by the adherents of that faith, leading to a slow drift away from the community. McLaren calls this stage perplexity, and it is marked by skepticism and relativism. It's when many people deconstruct or discard completely their faith system because it simply does not work for them anymore. You experience a loss of identity, of relationship, of purpose or meaning because it was all tied to the faith community. You begin to look for others who also see it differently, who have been on this path before you. While perplexity can be a difficult period, it plays an important role in mature faith development. This is a time to realize that you have the agency to choose what you will believe and how you will live. It's an opportunity to explore and learn new ways to engage with faith, maybe even to have no faith and let that look like faith. It's when you can recognize and process the pain and work on healing. There's a lot to unpack, and it's helpful to find new communities and relationships that give you the space and support to do that. It's not a time to rush through, but to linger here too long can cultivate a permanent attitude of cynicism or resentment. So the fourth stage is where we really hope to land. Harmony is that stage when we really transcend and include, retaining what was helpful from both the simplicity and complexity of our early faith, while integrating new ideas, practices, and experiences. It's growing beyond the boundaries, finding a new way without discarding the elements that were of value from our heritage and the legacy faith system. In harmony, there's a movement from external authority to self-authority. No longer is someone telling you what you must believe, but that comes with a burden. What do you believe? It's usually not enough to define your faith through the negatives of what you don't believe. So harmony is about seeing things whole, finding new connections, making a contribution. Everything belongs. All life is sacred. It's being compassionate and seeing the common good. We are interdependent, open to mystery and doubt. Faith becomes a humble, reverent openness to mystery that expresses itself in non-discriminatory love. It's about practice and learning and growth and community, not theology and conformance. I took almost all of those statements directly out of McLaren's book, but it's interesting to me, and really it's no coincidence, that those descriptors align with key principles of Unitarian Universalism. It's a big reason why I'm here today, after my own deconstruction journey and my time in perplexity. Maybe it's what attracted you to Human as well. And just as a reminder, as you use, we affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning. The right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregation and in society at large. The goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, and respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. So there is no doctrine, dogma, or prescriptive theology in those principles. They allow the freedom and flexibility to incorporate what works well from other religious sources while enabling us as individuals to practice faith in a welcoming and compassionate community. So if you saw yourself in those stages, particularly if you find that you're still a little bit in perplexity and wrestling with what merits bringing forward as you transcend and include, I want to invite you to join me and Joe Lamb for the next 3 weeks, starting next Sunday. During second hour, we're going to do a class called Faith After Doubt. What we'll cover in there is defining deconstruction, so talking about the stories and journeys that all of us have had so far as we went through that. The second week, we'll get into phases of deconstruction with an emphasis on the resources that helped us survive and navigate through that, as well as what other folks that come and share. And then the third week, we'll talk about paths forward. What does a thriving faith look like for you now? What's next in your practice and beliefs? So I love the title that McLaren gave to the afterword in his book. It says, "You're not crazy and you're not alone." If you're struggling to find faith after doubt, I welcome you to a community that embraces the journey. Thank you.
And now let us extinguish the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
So in closing, doubt need not be the death of faith. It can be instead the birth of a new kind of faith, a faith beyond beliefs, a faith that expresses itself in love, deepening and expanding faith that can save your life and save the world. Go in peace and enjoy your week.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.